Thank you, Mr. Waltz. Happy Sabbath to everybody. It's been a long time since I've been down here, so it's good to see everybody. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, this feels really deep now since it's kind of open. It's been a while. So with Passover quickly approaching, I wanted to hit a topic that I think is an important spiritual principle that we can all try to apply to our lives in this time. And it is part of the admonition from Paul. He talks about in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine ourselves that we are in the faith. Right? This is something we should be doing all the time, but particularly we like to highlight this around Passover time. So I want to highlight a principle that is outlined in Romans 8. So if you could turn to Romans 8, and we'll be reading verse 12 through 14. I'll be staying in Romans the entire time, so you won't have to be flipping too many times today. So this is Romans 8 and verse 12. Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And so the topic that I want to hit on is highlighted in verse 13, and I'm going to kind of rephrase it, what Paul's saying here. And that is, we must be willing to change who we are and change parts of ourselves that do not conform to Christ's nature, even if those are parts of ourselves that we love. And I'll hit on that a little bit later, but I do want to dig right into verse 13, because one of the things that I kind of left out in that rephrasing of that principle that Paul brings up is, Paul says, by the Spirit, right, by Christ's nature and by Christ's power, we do this. We don't do this ourselves. This is something that we cannot do ourselves. This is what is pictured here in this time of Passover and unleavened bread. Like, Christ puts out the leavening from us through his sacrifice, and then through unleavened bread, we take in his nature. And so right here, Paul is really talking about saying that we need to work with Christ. We need to be willing participants in this engagement and say that there is no part of us that we should be unwilling to get rid of, right? Because we are a new creation. At baptism, we are, as it says in Romans 6, which I will read later, we are put to death. The body's put to death, and it symbolizes what Christ did for us, and we are doing the same thing. And we are a new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, because God is building a whole new building. He's building something completely new in each and every one of us, all the way down to the foundation. Our foundation, when we're baptized, should be Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And we like to use the building analogy because I think it's a very good one, right? We say that we are the temple of God. But of course, here, God's not looking to patch up some, like, a bad door here or there, right? It's a complete gut job for each and every one of us because we have this carnal nature in each and every one of us that needs to be rooted out. And as Paul says in Romans 8, just a few verses above where I just read, right, that the carnal mind is enmity. The fleshly mind is hatred. It does not like God. It does not want to submit to God. And it's a difficult thing because it requires a lot of work on our part. There's a lot of things that we have to look into ourselves and be very honest and very forthright with everything that we do. And it could be a very hard thing because we go through these trials and as Mr. Costello mentioned in the opening prayer, we have so much going on in our lives that it takes a lot of work and it's draining. But character is not developed by fiat, right? God doesn't just say, "All right, cool. You know, you're now to have Christ's nature," right? Like, we have to go through this process, and as I'll use the term disappointing. I don't know if that's disappointing, but in some ways, I think you know what I mean, right? That while we don't want to have to go through tough times, we have to, and that's part of this calling. It's what Christ did, and we follow in His footsteps. And I think one of the things I really want to highlight, and is one that why it's really hard for a lot of us to go through this process, is sometimes the sin that we engage in, the character traits that we have that lead to sin, are things we actually like about ourselves. Deep down, there's something about us that we actually really love doing the thing that we really shouldn't be doing. And so I want to jump to Romans 7 to kind of jump into that point a little bit. Should be only a page or two away. Romans 7, 19 through 23. Paul said, and I'm reading from the ESV because I think many of you have probably read this. It's notoriously difficult in most of the King James versions. So this is Romans 7, verse 19. "For I do not do the good I want, But the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. But if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. My opinion, right, speaks me, not scripture here. I think this is one of the most important things that to understand as a Christian, that this is the battle that we have every day, and that it is okay to show that battle to other people. Paul told it for everybody who reads this book to know that he went through that. And I think for each and every one of us, it's hard. We don't want to show our kids. We don't want to show our coworkers. We don't want to show our spouse or just our best friends that we go through this war, as Paul calls it, this fight within us. But that's part of this calling. It is going fighting and fighting against the old man, this thing that we have in us that is being trying to be put away. We try our best to do this. But as Paul says right at the end there in verse 23, but as also as mentioned in Hebrews 12, we are held captive by that sin because it so easily ensnares us. It's something that's there and it keeps getting us. And sometimes we wonder, you know, why? Why do I keep doing this? Well, a lot of times it's because we like it. It's that fleshly part of us that wants to continue doing that. We get pleasure from it. Now, when we look at different examples of sin, and I know we have a very diverse crowd here, so I know a lot of the sin examples might be a bit, might not be as relevant to certain people, but when we look at wrath or competition, I mean, even hatred of classmate, hatred of something that's going on in the world, or even, right, not respecting your parents. I know it's funny, we tend to say that a lot to kids, but I'm a 30-year-old man, I still need to respect my parents. That is something that is not just something that kids need to understand. Of course, that's something that is hugely important for children, but at the same time, it represents us needing to respect God. God is our Father. That's something we need to focus on and not just say, oh, you need to respect me because I'm your dad or I'm your mom, right? It's something that we really need to focus on. But when we look at those issues, we say to ourselves, you know, why? Why so much? But it's because we experience pleasure from it, right? It's just like when we look at the horrors of addiction and sex, drugs, alcohol, any kind of thing, it's simultaneously pleasurable and destructive. Where you destroy relationships, destroy your physical self. It's the same with sin. I think in many ways, sin is addiction. It's something that a lot of times we don't like to mention because there's a lot of negativity around the idea of addiction. But it's something that we need to take seriously. It's something that idea of pleasure, of I want to do this, not just, oh, I'm compelled to do something because, you know, it's just within me, right? It's not this idea that it's kind of a vague, oh, I'm just being led in this direction. No, there are internal factors that help to navigate and push us in this way. So I think we all, especially as we get close to Passover, need to think about, with regard to sin, how we are driven by pleasure. We live in a first world society. We have everything we can possibly want at our fingertips. I know this is, they call this kind of generation the I want it now generation, or whatever kind of instant gratification, I guess I should say, that's the proper term. And so sometimes we can get into that, right? And so that's something that we really need to focus on. So we should be asking ourselves, where am I replacing the pleasure of God with the pleasure of men? And then why? Digging into the why. It's a hard part, but I've been trying to do this in my own life, and one of the things that I've experienced in my very limited experience and on this planet is that one of the keys that I learned is that really my desires don't mean a whole lot. When I gave this up in Columbia, I used the example of, I moved down here a year and a half ago. I was actually just talking to Carl about this. It'll be 2 years in August I've been down here, but yet that was a selfish decision on my part. I didn't like my job. I thought I was being treated poorly at my job, and I decided in a selfish way, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I decided, all right, I'm going to put the feelers out and see what happens. And of course, God can make something very positive. I get to meet all of you lovely people here today and do that and see that God can make wonderful things if we are willing to be okay with it not happening. I had I I remember praying multiple times saying, whatever the will, whatever your will is, God, for me, if you want to bring me somewhere, I know your people can be in a vast area of this country, of the world, right? God's people are everywhere. It's a matter of just finding them. And so I definitely found a lot of them down here, and I definitely thank God for that. But at the same time, I have to understand that that was a selfish thing. I did it because I wasn't getting pleasure out of my situation. I wasn't getting what I wanted out of it. So I moved down here. Of course, it's one of those things where you might not get what you want down here, but you have to live with that decision. And we all have to live with the decisions that we make each and every day. But the point is that we need to keep God first in our minds and understand that his plan is not, oh, well, you're going to do X, Y, and Z very specifically, and then, you know, this will happen. It's God's plan is that we all want to grow in his nature. Whatever happens in between, that's flexible. I think God's plan is always flexible. He wants to know that you're just here for the right reasons. And so to just kind of wrap up, Christ is looking for us to put away the old and welcome this new. Put away the old man that is in each and every one of us, that old person that is in us that is driving us to do things that are against God's way, and welcome in Christ's nature. That is unleavened bread, taking in unleavened nature of Christ every single day. And we must be willing vessels of godly character, learning how to submit the innermost parts. It's hard for different ages, for different peoples. There are so many different things that we encounter that are difficult, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it for people. It's not something that's an easy thing. But if we're willing and we seek help when we need it, God is able to work his nature out and work out his plan in our lives. And that war that we all feel, it's okay to show that. It's okay to show that issue, that fight in us, because that is what is happening. That is the truth behind of what's going on, and that is part of God's plan because Christ suffered. And so with the next almost not even 2 weeks away, Passover is very quickly approaching. Well, when we commemorate the suffering and the death of Christ on Passover, and we make that commitment again, we renew that commitment to share in his sufferings and his death, but in his life, most importantly, in the resurrection that we know is coming, that he had and that is coming for us. I'd like to finish by reading Romans 6. I mentioned this before. So if you just turn with me to Romans 6, and I'll finish up here. Romans 6 and verses 4 through 6. Paul says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin.